Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. Now tonight, we're going to look at two places of Scripture. And those two places, Exodus chapter 15. We're going to start in Exodus 15. This is shortly after they came out of Egypt. We just referenced that when we talked about the Passover Seder. But I want to go to an interesting place where the Lord speaks of covenant and speaks of healing, but they weren't sick. It's very interesting. We'll read this. In verse 22, Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for it was bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. All right, stop for a minute. So it's just exactly what he said. They come to bitter water, and the desert sometimes has water, but it's bitter. It's undrinkable. And the people were murmuring. They were complaining because they've been 3 days now. They must have used the water that they brought with them. And the Lord said, take that tree, cast it into the water. That tree represents the cross. That tree represents, because Jesus died on a tree, it represents that. Throwing it into the water is what we are to do whenever we have bitter circumstances of life. We take the cross and we put the cross into those circumstances. If we try to handle those circumstances on our own, we may succeed, we may not succeed, but we most probably will have a lot of heartache, a lot of worry, and a lot of stress along the way. If we take the cross and put all that the cross means to us and put that in, insert the power, the healing, the blessing, the breakthrough, whatever it may be, and we put that into that circumstance, like casting that tree into the water, it becomes sweet. Life is made sweeter by the cross of Christ. Healing is made sweeter by the cross of Christ. Yes, we can. Now, look, I don't want to say that there's any problem with doctors, and doctors have ways of dealing with things like cancer. As you know, they told me, massive radiation and massive chemotherapy. Well, radiation, it burns the cancer, but it also burns the body. There are all kinds of different chemotherapies, but most of them, they're kind of a poison. And the poison goes into your body with the idea that it's going to kill the cancer and not kill a whole lot of the other good parts of your body, but it does harm your body. We have neuropathy that comes from, neuropathy is when you lose the feeling in your hands and your feet. That's a byproduct of chemotherapy. And there are other things that happen through chemotherapy. So the doctors are trying their best. They're trying. And that's why I say there may be some anguish. There may be some stress if you're doing it on your own. Doing it on our own would mean totally relying on doctors and on the medical science. However, God's got a better way. And we do all we can in the natural and all we can in the spirit. And all we can in the spirit is trust God, believe that he is our healer, and pursue healing through the Lord. And there is joy in the Lord. And there is a peace that passes understanding, that even in the midst of crisis, you have a peace. Now let's keep reading here, because this part we just read sets up what's about to happen. There's bitter water. They're following the Lord. They've come 3 days. They have no water. The Lord says, take the cross, throw it into the water. Take the tree, throw it into the water, and it is made sweet. Now, what's God's response here? Look at this. And he said, if you, this is God speaking now, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all right, we'll stop there. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. When we have a covenant, we're in covenant. Every contract is a covenant. If you own your home or condo and you have signed a covenant, you have signed a contract. And so every month you pay the fee, you pay the bank, you pay whoever has extended the loan to you. If you have an auto loan, you pay every month. If you don't pay, if you don't obey the terms of the covenant, what happens? They come and they take it back. So he's saying, obey, diligently hearken unto my voice. To diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord means we obey the covenant. We obey the word of God. Remember, Jesus said, if you hear the word of God and do it, you are like the man or the person who built his house on a rock. The storms came, the winds beat, the waves beat, but that house withstood. If you are foolish, you hear the word of God, you don't do it, you forget about it. It's like someone who built their house on sand and it washed away very easily and very quickly. Same storm, two different results. Same storm comes upon the righteous and the unrighteous, but the righteous have a way of escape. The righteous have a way of victory. So he says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, being doers of the word. And this is an interesting point, because most people, if you ask like 90% of people in America, they would say they're good people. In their hearts, they believe they're good people. But it's not in our heart, it's in his heart. Notice what he said. If you do that which is right in God's sight, not what's right in our sight, because what's right in our sight changes. What's right today was not right 15, 20 years ago. But now it's right in, you know, not for us, but for the world. So it's not what's right in our sight. It's what's right in God's sight. That which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. Now, this is where we get to the covenant. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. This is a covenant keeper. This is a covenant keeper. When you keep covenant with your contract, whatever contract that might be, then you are obligated to do all the things that you're to do. Let's talk about maybe a rental. Let's talk about a business rental. I don't know how many of you have had business rentals. Maybe you've rented a place where you have your business. Well, a lot of times you're surprised because though you are paying a monthly fee to maintain that property, if the air conditioning or heat goes out, it's generally your responsibility to fix it, not the owner. That's generally the way business contracts run. So you keep all of the terms of the contract. Maybe you're allowed to have signage. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're allowed to have banners. Maybe you're not. You know, one of my kids works in a Starbucks, which is in a mall, and the Starbucks cannot open and close whenever they want. They have to open and close according to when the mall tells them. If they close for a day without the mall being closed, they can be fined for that. And so they have to abide by the terms of the contract. When we abide by the terms of the covenant, we receive the blessings of the covenant, the blessings of God. Here he says, and if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, all his statutes, I will put none. Can you say none? I will put none. Can you say that again? None. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Now, why is he talking about healing when that was not the issue? The healing issue was in Numbers 21, right? We're in Exodus 15. It's Numbers 21 when he puts the serpent on the pole. We talked about that Thursday evening in the message called Christ the Healer. So why is this here? Because it's covenant, it's healing, and it's the cross. This is a foreshadowing of a new and a better covenant. But here he's absolutely, absolutely serious when he says, if you do these things, you are going to walk in health. If you do these things, you're going to walk in health. Now, I don't want to shock or surprise you, but every miracle of healing of Jesus was under the old covenant. Every sign, every wonder was under the old covenant. The new covenant did not go into effect until Jesus died and rose from the dead. So everything he did, all of the miracles, all the signs and wonders, all of the healings were under the terms of the old covenant. And when Jesus rose from the dead, before that, when he was at the Last Supper, he said a new and everlasting covenant. He said this was going to be a new covenant, an everlasting covenant, and a better covenant. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're talking about the healing covenant because our covenant is a healing covenant. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, as we know, was not at the Last Supper. If he were at the Last Supper, he would have been there to arrest people, but he didn't even know about him at the time. The Apostle Paul spent the first part of the Bible in persecuting the church, arresting Christians, putting them in prison. He approved of the stoning of Stephen. He was right there, and he had no problem with it. He thought they were blasphemers. He thought they were not following God until he met Jesus. He meets Jesus on the way to Damascus, but he maintains a relationship with him for the rest of his life. And the Lord reveals things to him, such as the Last Supper. And that's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this was totally by revelation. We'll start in verse 23. For some reason, I'm in the Gospel of John. Let me go to 1 Corinthians. Sorry, turned to the wrong place. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received from the Lord. See, he's saying this. I wasn't there. I got this from God. That which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Sound familiar? 90% of churches, this is what we follow when we have the communion service, which is like what we just did. We take it from here, from the Apostle Paul, who was not even there, but received it by revelation. And in the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. All right, now, if the old covenant was in the blood of bulls and lambs, it started with the blood of the lamb on the lintels and doorpost. If that was the old covenant, and all of the miracles that Jesus did was under the old covenant, how much better is a covenant based on the blood of the only begotten Son of God, the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth? So if all of these miracles of healing were available under the old covenant, how much more healing is available under the new covenant, the terms of the new covenant? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay, now, let's make a pause. What he's saying here is that we are to search our hearts, pray, and be prepared and be ready to come to the table. We don't just come to the table. Remember when you were little, when you're living with your parents, when you were a little kid, and they would call you to the table, and you would come in from outside, you were playing or something, you'd run to the table, and what would your mom say? Not so fast. Go wash your hands before you sit down. Sometimes it wasn't just wash your hands. Sometimes, and put on a clean shirt, if it was a guy who was out, you know, in the mud or playing football, you prepared yourself. You prepared to come to the table. Well, in the same way, we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord. We may not need to wash our hands, but we need to wash our hearts. And so we search our hearts and we confess any sin. We may not remember every sin, but we want to just bring everything to the Lord. Now, sin is not just, you know, dastardly deeds that we do. It's things we don't do. You know, the Lord said he wanted you to pass a tract or make an invitation to church or share your faith or call somebody and you say, and you forgot about it. That's not being obedient. So we want to ask the Lord to forgive us for everything we should have done and didn't do, everything we did do and shouldn't have done, things we said, all of that. We prepare ourselves. So, but look at this. For this cause, okay, let me back up to verse 29. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many are dead. Did you hear what he said? He said, if we don't discern the body of Christ, we may be weak, sick, or even dead. What does he mean by that? I believe what he means is how his body was broken for our healing. You see, what washed away every sin? I mean, you know the song. What can wash away my sin? Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus washed away sin. The blood of Jesus removed sin. The blood of Jesus atoned for sin. The blood of Jesus. It was his blood that he presented in the heavenly holy of holies. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says, there's no remission of sin. So that was the blood. That's the cup. This is the cup of my blood. The body. What about discerning the body? The body in the covenant, his physical body. Let's just think about what his physical body went through. He was arrested. He was tried. The first trial was just a few of the Sanhedrin, just a few of the high-ups got together. They had some guards there. They mistreated him. They punched him. They kicked him. They abused him. Then he had the trial with the Sanhedrin, the same thing. And then they sent him to Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod had him mocked. They put a crown of thorns on him. They gave him a reed, and they put a robe around him. They sent him back to Pilate. And then Pilate had him whipped. Okay, so now we have the punching, the kicking, the bruising. They spit upon him. Then we have the head pierced with the thorns. We have the beating. And when you say beating, that's a nice way to put the slashing of his back with the whipping. The Roman whips would have like a cat of nine tails, but they would have bits of metal or glass tied at the end so it would shred the skin of the back. And then he was nailed to the cross. His hands and his feet were pierced. And then one final piercing was his side when they stuck the spear into his side. So his body underwent all of that. And then hanging on the cross, all of the torture of death hanging on the cross. Someone on the cross did not die from loss of blood. It could take up to 3 days for someone to perish on a cross. That's why it was a public form of execution. It was put right where major highways were so that people could see what would happen if you disobeyed the government. And so what would happen is that the body would slump down as you couldn't support yourself. And as you slump down, hanging on the cross, it was natural just to sort of hang and slump. You were unable to breathe. You would begin to suffocate. So you would push up. Remember, there was, if you've ever seen a picture of a crucifix or a picture of Jesus on the cross that people have painted, they have a step under the feet. Sometimes it was behind the back, and you would push up. The only way you could breathe is to push up. But when you would push up, there are nails in your feet. So it would be excruciating. And that would go on. Push up, breathe, slump down. Push up, breathe, slump down until you were too weak. And you passed away. It was a Sabbath. That's why they broke the legs of the other prisoners, so they could not push up. Remember, they said, "It's a Sabbath. They need to die. We can't wait any longer." So they broke the legs of the thieves, and without with the leg bones being broken, they couldn't push up. So, all of that, his body, was for our sickness and our disease. It was a covenant promise of God, kept by Jesus.
He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, with his beatings and whippings, we were made whole. This is the covenant. The Apostle Paul says, "For this cause many are sick and weak among you, and many are asleep." We must recognize that his body was broken for our healing. This covenant is a covenant of healing. It is, yes, it is a covenant of eternal life. It is a covenant of heaven. It is a covenant of salvation, but it's a covenant of healing. Think back. The old covenant was instituted with the death of the lamb, the blood on the lintels and doorposts, and the people being spared. They came out physically. They did not just come out spiritually. They came out physically out of Egypt into a promised land. This covenant that we have, the new covenant, is for our physical healing as well as our spiritual. Yes, we have eternal life. Eternal life is ongoing. We have it now. We don't wait till we get to heaven to get eternal life. We have it now. If it's eternal, it has no beginning, it has no end. So we've got it. Well, the moment we got born again, we have eternal life. But we also have the promise of healing. Healing is a covenant promise of God. I am the Lord thy God, thy healer. And so when Jesus, think about this, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead without blood. He rose from the dead with his side being pierced, hands and feet being pierced. He rose from the dead, even though he had the thorns that were stuck through his head. He rose from the dead, even with the whippings and beatings on his back. None of those things kept him dead. He overcame all of those and rose with the keys of hell and of death. Now, let's talk about the keys of hell and of death. He would not have raised from the dead with the keys of hell and of death unless he had died. He had to die. He came to die, to take our place, to die in our place, to take our sickness and disease and nail it to the cross, to become our sin and nail it to the cross. What happened after he died? He went to hell. He went to hell. That's where all of us would have ended up. That's where the price had to be paid. There was not a price over our heads in heaven. The price over our head was in hell. When someone gets arrested because there's a price, you know, there's something that they've done and there's a price, they go to jail. They don't go to a palace, right? They don't go to some luxury condo. They go to jail. So we were all headed for hell, and Jesus went instead. He paid the price. Now you can imagine what was going on down there when they thought they had the Son of God. They thought they had the Anointed One, the Messiah. After all, he had already gotten the first ones, right? Adam and Eve. He had already gotten them. He already found a way to cause them to lose the garden and lose the blessing of God. And when he did that, that is when sickness, that's when disease, that's when all of the disintegration of God's creation entered into the world. And now, he must have thought this was the culmination. He's got the first and the last. He's got it. However, what he didn't know is that Jesus was not there to suffer. Jesus was there to pick up the keys. He was just there to get the keys of hell and of death, because the enemy has lost the ability to lock the door. He cannot put anything on us that God can't take off. He cannot do anything to us that we can't remove. He cannot put sickness and disease on us. He cannot put death and destruction on us, because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for our salvation, which means he paid the price for our healing. He paid the price for our eternal life. He paid the price for our life in this world. You see, the word salvation, sozo, in the Greek, is made whole, spirit, soul, and body, to be rescued, to be delivered, to be made whole. Our salvation is the total package. It's our spirit, our soul, our body. He heals the brokenhearted. That's Isaiah 61, the first message that he ever preached, that he heals the brokenhearted, opens the eyes of the blind, opens prison doors to them that are bound. This is who he is. This is what he does. This is the covenant. Jesus is the new covenant, and he is our healer, and in his name is healing, and in his name is power, and in his name are the promises of God. It's just up to us to believe, to receive, to enjoy, to walk. And let me go back to the way God put it, rather than hear me, the way I say it.
Let me go back to the way God put it. He said it like this. If, it's conditional, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, let's keep the covenant, I will put none of these diseases upon you, for I am the Lord thy God, thy healer. In Jesus' name, we have a covenant promise for healing. We have a covenant right to healing. Jesus came, he went about doing good and healing all that were sick or oppressed of the devil, because that's who he is, our healer. Receive whatever you have need of today in Jesus' name.
Well, I want to encourage you as we conclude the broadcast today to trust God and believe God for the promises that he has made in his word. He stated that his word will not come back to him empty, but will accomplish what he has sent it to do. He sent his word to heal. I quoted that from Psalm 107:20. That's the scripture the Lord spoke to me when he brought me off the deathbed. I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. Well, the Lord is our healer today, and we believe that. At Real Life Church, we pray for the sick at every service, whether online or in person. And we are experiencing miracles because Jesus is the miracle worker, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive right now. That's what changed my life in Jerusalem so many years ago when a missionary was speaking about raising the dead. And I had never heard anything like that before. I was not saved, and I thought the man was lying until he asked this simple question: do you believe that Jesus is alive? And in my heart of hearts, I knew he was alive. I had learned that as a child, and so I didn't doubt that he was alive. But that didn't make any difference to me. Then he asked a second question: if you believe he's alive, what do you believe he's doing right now? That question stumped me. I had no idea what Jesus was doing. He answered it by saying he's doing the same things he was doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. And so if you want to get involved in a life like this, stand up to your feet, give your life to Christ. I was out of my seat in an instant. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and my life changed from that day forward. Everything changed, including what I understood about the Word of God. I had never read God's Word before. Beginning that day, I began to devour the Word of God, reading it every single day. And the Lord would speak to me and show me things. And one of the things he showed me was that Jesus is our healer, that he continues to heal. I prayed for the sick. I prayed for others. We saw miracles. We saw people being healed from blindness and lameness. We saw many miracles, but I never needed one, not a big one, until that time that cancer came upon me. But the Lord is faithful. He was there for me. And when I trusted God and believed God, though I prayed for over a year for healing, symptoms remained in my body for over a year. But that night, when he spoke, everything ceased in Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person. But we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.